I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do you know what's great about the NFL? It never stops. Never. And neither does the Pick Six NFL podcast here at CBS Sports. In fact, right now is the perfect time for off-season rankings. And so on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, Brady Quinn joins Pete Prisco to break down Pete Prisco's top 100 NFL players, which includes a surprise at the top. So check it out. Download the two-part pod with Brady and Pete anywhere you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Kyle Porter. He's back in the content shed. It sounds like you just got some water delivered to you.
Yeah, I got a note for my kids that says I love you, and there's all kinds of stuff taped on it. And yeah, it's good to be home, man. I'm tired. I feel like I could have just slept all day. It's a, you know, nobody wants to hear about like me complaining about traveling to Pebble for a week, but it is it's draining. And by the end of it, you're like, okay, like when's the next one? It's weird. We played golf yesterday. I played with Sean Martin and some other guys, and I was like, man, I think I might not see you guys again until Augusta next year, because there's not be, and this is sort of like the collateral damage of the PGA being in May, is you have this really, I mean, obviously we have the Open Championship here in a month, but there's this really long, like extended time between the last major of 1 year and then the first of the next. So I mean, I love it. I think the schedule is awesome, but it makes for a different travel schedule for a lot of us.
For the players, do you think that the adjustment, like what are we going to see from the players in terms of the adjustments later in the season?
You mean in terms of like the FedEx Cup and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think one thing is like, You're seeing it like this time between majors, because it's so condensed, it's so short. You're just seeing some of these tournaments just have it feels like worse fields than normal. I don't know if that's actually true. I mean, you have certain events that everybody goes to between the majors, like Memorial. So like everybody is there. Like if you're gonna play between the US or the PGA Championship and the US Open, you're probably going to do it at Memorial. But as for the way it plays out at the end of the season, I don't know that it'll be that much different. I think guys will just continue to play all the playoff events. I think St. Jude's is going to be interesting, the WGC event.
Yeah. Like on one hand, it's a WGC and all the advantages that come with that. But on the other hand, it's kind of in a tight spot on the schedule. And like, I was wondering because we're going to be getting into the Travelers Championship here in a little bit. I mean, Travelers Championship has got a pretty good field, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
really good.
I see. It feels to me actually the opposite, where I think that every time I'm turning around, I'm expecting it to be a ho-hum tournament. And just because everything's so condensed, it's like, no, I mean, well, if you're going to play, you got to get it in here. Or I don't know what the motivations are going to be all over the place, but we've been doing this podcast together for what, 3 years?
Yeah. Has it been that long?
I think so. I've got
two or three. Yeah.
I know that we were definitely podcasting, in the spring of 17 for sure, at a minimum, and maybe even the year before that, because I just remember there being some tournaments where you're like, yeah, like, I mean, Spieth is there, but it's kind of a drop off after that. And maybe some of that's also just like our current view of the world of golf. But it has anecdotally felt like we are getting, you can't go 2 weeks without having a tournament that's going to have a pretty impressive field.
Yeah, it does. It has felt more this year like guys are playing the week before or after majors. I do agree with that. And then you'll like some of the guys, like I bet Koepka, I don't know. I think he's playing like Detroit or something. But he'll sometimes do this thing where he'll play the week after a major and then just like peace out for the next until the next major. And so I don't know. Like more than I remember, guys are playing before or after, like Rory playing Canada last week or 2 weeks ago. That's happening more than I remember. But then it feels like the events like at the like kind of at the heart between the majors, you haven't gotten like I'm thinking like your Wells Fargo type events. You haven't gotten as good a field for.
That's true. Yeah, 100%. All right, time for our stat of the day. What's our stat of the day, Kyle?
Yeah, I just tweeted this out. So I was looking at, so obviously everybody knows the run that Koepka's on. I mean, that's all we've talked about. It's being underrated. I heard somebody talking about this last night. It's historically like sort of not unprecedented, but historically, like, I don't know that we're properly contextualizing it.
Sure.
It's unbelievable. And so I looked up last four majors. There's been, well, first of all, do you want to guess how many guys have made the cut at the last four majors? So you got PGA last year, Masters, PGA, and US Open this year.
I'm going to say it's five.
21.
Oh, okay.
But only, let's see, only 13 of them have been under par. So you're kind of like center line is Tyrrell Hatton's played those four majors in one over. He's made all the cuts, but he's played them in one over.
We're going cumulative score to par across the last four majors.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. Spieth is 9 under. Fowler's 10. Rory's 11. And then you start getting into like Francesco Molinari, who won one of them, is 16. You're like, okay, that's pretty good. You know, Webb is 16. And then you get into your top five. So your top five is Cantlay and Xander at 20 under.
Mm-hmm.
And we like we understand that, right? Like Xander's been what, second or
four top sixes in his last six major starts.
There you go. What is Cantlay? He's been, oh wow. Okay. So he's been so this year he's T9, T3, T21, and then last year at the PGA he was T27. So four top 30s. That's pretty good. And then you've got DJ at 23 under. So both those guys are at 20. DJ's at 23. So you start kind of climbing up the ladder a little bit. Adam Scott is third. He's 24. So he's one better than DJ. Gary Woodland is second. He's 25 under. So he's one better than Adam Scott, two better than DJ. So Gary Woodland's 25 under in the last four majors. He's in second place. Brooks Koepka in the last four majors is 46 under.
46?
So he's 21. He's 20.
Second place is 25. He's almost double that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He's 21 better than second over the last four. I mean, this is guys, like, again, who have made the cut at all four, which it hasn't really been like. The cuts have been pretty big. You remember the Masters cut was huge. PGA cuts are not. Bethpage was a little tough. Belle Reve was not a super difficult cut.
Dude, US Open got was 79.
Do what?
I think US Open was 79.
Yeah, they've been big cuts. And so it's not like it hasn't been that hard to make. You know, you see what I'm saying is you see most of your big names. Tiger didn't make the cut at the PGA, so he's not in here. Phil missed one. Leishman missed one. Finau missed the U.S. Open. Anyway, all that to say, Brooks Koepka 21 strokes better than the second best guy over the last four majors. That's insane. It's also insane that Gary Woodland's second. I wouldn't have thought that.
It is not crazy to. It's not crazy to think that we're having trouble contextualizing this or giving it its proper place in history because we're living it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's honestly like your job, my job. I mean, that's part of what we're being counted on, not only to report and share and discuss and analyze and predict, but also to try and be able to establish some of that perspective with whatever knowledge that we have. And I think that you're obviously doing a good job with it. My hesitation with the Koepka run is that I don't think it's over. Like I just think there's more. there's more major wins. I think there's a lot more definitely major contention, and to try and imagine what it could be is too many leaps where I'm like, I don't know, man, like our next data point's coming up pretty soon. I mean, you mentioned we've got a long layoff till the Masters, and goodness gracious, like the hype for Brooks at the Masters next year is going to be ridiculous. But like, yeah. I'm sitting here and I'm like, it is this one thing that is incredible. That is like one of the great runs, but I think that I've got to see how the story or the run ends before I'm going to feel confident putting it in perspective. The Golden State Warriors. Do you believe that the run is over? The run as we know it, do you think it's over?
Yes.
So like it is ended, and now we're going to start to like have some perspective on where it stands and what it means. But the Miami Heat run had to end. The Spurs run had to end. The Koepka run we are still in the middle of, and I think it has to end before we understand what it means.
Well, and I think also when you start talking about guys being in like the Tiger stratosphere, you, like with Tiger, we saw this coming, right? Like we saw like the three USAMs, we saw the Masters in 97. Like there was a very like linear trajectory. And so when you're in it, you're like, you feel very confident about saying, look, this time, this guy is all time, like maybe the best of all time, an all time great. Like you felt fine about saying that. There was no hesitation whatsoever about sort of putting that out there. And with Koepka, because this is not true, but I'm going to say the phrase anyway, because he's come out of nowhere, we're like, what is this? Is it linear? Like, does this just keep going into the future forever? Does it get better? Or is this just like we've talked about, a heater, and then it drops off dramatically? So I think that because of the way it's sort of unfolded, it makes it more difficult to contextualize than maybe it would with somebody else.
Taking a look at the Travelers Championship with our pick to win and, of course, our perfect finish right after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
And now it's time for the perfect finish brought to you by Amstel Light. We're talking about the Travelers Championship. We're up in Connecticut. Kyle Porter, senior golf writer, what's our perfect finish?
Well, I think you know where I'm going with
this,
Chip.
Yes. I just want to know if they're both going to be in the final pairing for your perfect finish.
Yeah, it's going to be a Daniel Berger, Jordan Spieth-like playoff.
Yeah.
Like we got in, what year was that, 17?
Yeah.
And Spieth holds out from the bunker. But this year, it's going to happen between Matthew Wolf and Victor Hovland. They're both going to be 17 under, 10 clear of the field. And they're going to be in a playoff. And Matthew Wolf is going to hole out from the bunker to beat Victor Hovland. They're going to hug. Pistol Pete might be there. He might just shoot his guns on the 18th green. Just scare everybody. Just firing into the sky. It's going to be awesome. The takeover is happening this week. It has begun.
The Blaze Orange takeover is here.
Yeah.
Are they both going to be wearing school colors?
Well, I was just about to ask you. I haven't seen, I think that So I saw Hovland in a Ping hat on some social video. Wolf is TaylorMade, but I don't know what they're wearing. Like, I don't know who they're like, what they're, I think Wolf is going to be Nike. And I think Hovland is going to be, what's the brand that, Matt Wallace wears? I think it's Jay Lindenberg.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. It's a European thing, I think. But, yeah, I don't know if that means like they do the, if they get the Fowler treatment on Sunday. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go, but man, I'm excited. I'm excited about both of them. Justin Suh, Colin Morikawa, all playing in this tournament for the best AMs, maybe the four best AMs of the last few years. And, you know, Morikawa has already played. He finished, I think, top 20 at Canadian Open. So was, in the field at Memorial, I believe. I think he missed the cut, but, yeah, I'm pumped about them, being in the field, and yeah, my perfect finish of them being in a playoff on Sunday afternoon.
And that has been your perfect finish, brought to you by Amstel Light. It's the Pilsner that you want after a round with your friends. It's got the perfect finish, Amstel Light. Okay, so for the listeners that may not know, and maybe also for your co-host, who would just like to be filled in and have the discussion. What is the challenge for these mid-season amateurs go pro? What do they need to do in order to be able to ensure their full-time status as a professional?
You mean to get their card for next year?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm looking up. Justin Suh missed the cut at Memorial. I didn't want to shortchange him there. Yeah, it's very confusing, and I'm not totally sure that I get it. So what happens with these amateurs, and this will be true of all these guys, because they're already pretty famous and people know who they are. And so each tournament gets a set number of sponsor exemptions, and they can invite me and you. That would be really dumb of them to do that. But we could go – actually, I don't know if they could do that. But they can invite – PGA Tour professionals or just professional golfers to come and play in events. This is how Tony Romo got into the Byron Nelson.
Right.
Sponsor exemption.
It's how Steph Curry gets on web.com events and the like. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Corn Ferry Tour. No longer web.com tour. Did you see this?
I did not.
They changed their name today. It's the Corn Ferry. So a company called Corn Ferry Consulting
in Iowa.
Corn is spelled K-O-R-N.
Oh.
So it's the KFC Tour.
Oh, yes. Okay.
You should have heard the things that were being said at dinners during the U.S. Open.
About the KFC Tour?
It was incredible. It's like peak golf content. It's unbelievable.
When you said Corn Ferry, I now am realizing that it's like a consulting firm, I'm guessing, or business solutions. And I imagined a company based in Iowa, corn spelled with a C, and ferry just meaning that they've been the Iowa, the corn kings of the Midwest for like the last 5 years.
It's Corn Ferry. Organizational consulting. They actually are a firm that sometimes gets hired on like coaching searches.
Oh, okay.
Which is your wheelhouse. It's the KFC tour. I said on Monday or Tuesday that I think the money winner at the end of the year should be called the Colonel. And I also said,
booed out of the group text?
Huh?
Did you get booed out of the room?
No. I said the end of the year. So you have the playoff at the end of the year. You have it on the formerly web.com tour, but you just similar to what you have on the PGA tour. I said the end of the year competition should be called the KFC Bowl.
Right.
For sure. Somebody on Twitter, I think Tron said that the top 25, which top 25 earned their PGA Tour card for the next year, it should be called the bucket. This will never end. It will go on forever and ever and ever.
Okay. But for Matthew Wolf and Victor Hovland and our amateurs here, as they begin their Travelers Championship pursuit of their card for next year, My only understanding is there's some amount of winning that needs to be done, right? And I believe it's totaled in earnings money, but I'm not positive about that.
Yeah. So what happens is, and I'll have to look up and get the exact numbers right, but you get up to 7 sponsor exemptions. So Matthew Wolf's going to play probably in all, like, tournaments will invite him to all 7 of them, and he can pick and choose and whatever. And during those 7 events, you have to earn, I think it's like equivalent FedEx Cup points, because you're not a PGA Tour member. So you have to earn equivalent FedEx Cup points to, I think, the guy that finished like 150th last year.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
Right.
I think it's 150. And then after that, if you do that, once you do that, you get a special temporary membership, I think is what it's called. And that means you get unlimited sponsor exemptions. So you can get in, so you can play all of the events that you get invited to. And to earn your card for the following year, I think you have to get to the, I think this is right. You have to get to the equivalent FedEx Cup points of whoever finished in the top 125 last season. So whoever finished 125th, I don't remember who it was. It was Scott Stallings or somebody like that. You have to earn the amount of FedEx Cup points that they earned last year in this season. And once you get there, I think you get your card for 2020.
When we see some of these college stars make these midseason jumps, do they, like, is it the expectation for average golfer that you would be able to hit these numbers? Or is it the expectation for Victor Hovland, Matthew Wolf, some of these guys that have been the top amateurs in the world for a little while, is then the expectation for them that they're going to be able to hit these numbers because they've been so great?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because you get so few starts at the beginning, right? Like 7. There's just so much pressure on performing well at one of them. And the hard thing for somebody like Hovland is he goes T12 at the US Open and you're like, oh, well, that would have gone a long way, you know, in terms of like, but it didn't count for anything because he was still an amateur. And so it does give you, I mean, if you finish, and this is how Spieth kind of got onto the tour, if you finish, you know, top 10 in a couple events, then you're like, you're pretty close.
Okay.
You know? And so it gives you an opportunity, but it's tricky. And you don't want to play, like, you want to play the right ones where you don't want to go to like Memorial where you're like, oh my gosh, like this field's unbelievable. But you don't want to go to, it's hard. It's difficult to kind of figure it out, but there's certainly a kind of a sliver of an opportunity to do it.
Cool stuff. All right. So Travelers Championship coming up this weekend. What are some of the storylines that you're following?
Well, obviously those guys. And then the other storylines that I've got, Bubba, he's got 3 wins here. He won last year. We were joking about this. He only likes like 4 courses on the PGA Tour, and this is one of them. And he's just lights out here. Paul Casey is Paul Casey is to the Travelers as Luke Donald is to the RBC Heritage, where literally the best player in tournament history, but he's never won.
Like best, like he has the best cumulative DePar score in tournament history. Has always been in the top 5, top 10, but no breakthroughs.
Yeah, so his data golf has historical strokes gained. There's 2 guys over 1.8 at this event. Bubba's at 2.1. Paul Casey's at 2.5. So he's been almost, I mean, he's been just so much better than everybody else in this tournament's history, but he's never won. He finished T2 last year behind Bubba.
Damn.
So that's another one. And then, you know, the amateurs, it's a good field. Patrick Cantlay,
Tommy Fleetwood.
Fleetwood for the first time, Spieth, Jason Day, Koepka, Justin Thomas, Bryson. Phil's in it.
Finau?
Is he in it? I think he is, yeah.
I had no idea about Finau at this course or with this event, but one of my systems is to look at a player who missed the cut at a major and then come back with them as the pick to win at the next event. Finau would certainly be that pick. My pick for this week, though, Dropped it on the Today's Top Pick series, Sportsline series, yesterday. Is I think Patrick Cantlay wins this one and might win it by like three strokes.
That's who I picked too.
Really?
Yeah. So he's definitely missing the cut.
Yes. But doesn't it just seem like Cantlay's just in a like robotic, just burn things down kind of mode right now?
You there?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got a phone call on my headphones. So I was just all out of sorts. Things are moving quickly.
You mean just like the seventh hole at Pebble Beach?
Oh, yeah, things are moving very
quickly.
Things
are moving very quickly.
Things move quickly for me on Monday and Tuesday when I play golf. I like Cantlay here. He, he didn't have a great U.S. Open week. He started off kind of not great. I think he was 3 over on the first day, but he kind of improved as the week went on. I'm with you though. Maybe that's why Bubba always plays well here, because he always misses the cut at the U.S. Open.
And he's got a lot of time off, no mental stress. Yeah. He just comes in ready to roll.
He's flying Bubba's Burgers, the airplane, over Pebble on the weekend, and he just heads on over to Cromwell, Connecticut.
Who's your top 10 sleeper?
My top 10 lock is Paul Casey, obviously. Only 22 golfers have defeated him at this tournament in the last 4 years. Is that good?
I think so.
My sleeper is Matthew Wolf, because I can't help myself. I'm just, I'm all in.
All right, who finishes? Do you believe Matthew Wolf finishes ahead of Hovland on the leaderboard?
Well, let's look at their. So Matthew Wolf's 80-1 to win, which is equivalent with like Lucas Glover and Bud Cauley, some of those guys. Victor Hovland is 60-1, which is interesting. That's equivalent to Ben On, Daniel Berger, Kevin Streelman, Kevin Kisner. It's crazy, right? Like these guys are playing North Florida like 50 days ago, and now they're competing against Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka in PGA Tour events.
I'm not surprised to see Hovland with better numbers, even if like the diehards might not see that much of a separation between him and Wolf. The basics just saw him be the low amateur at the U.S. Open and the Masters in the last 3 months.
Well, and there's a lot of talk. I talked to a bunch of people that, and every time it comes up, we're like, are we positive that Wolf's ceiling is higher than Hovland's?
Is that is that the general consensus?
Yeah, that's the way it gets talked about, just because of his length and like, you know, he's just, and this is a really dumb way probably to go about it, he just feels more like a superstar. Like you're around him, and I've written about this, like you're around him and he's sort of this electricity, you know, that you don't necessarily get with Hovland. But the more I look, and he was better in college, like his scoring average was better and whatever, but the more I look at this, I'm like, are we positive about this? Because Hovland's unbelievable. I mean, just wins the USAM, low AM at the Masters, low AM at the US Open. He's done everything.
Dude, he looks so comfortable doing it too. I do not have the Matthew Wolf experience that you do. And so let me like say from my uninformed seat over here in the Palatial Patterson Studios, I am certainly not willing to commit to Wolf being better, and that at this moment, recency bias baked into my crust, I am more team Hovland right now than I am team Matthew Wolf.
Yeah, I don't think that's a crazy take. I really don't. It's going to be fascinating because they're always going to be compared to each other, and I don't know. I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Any other? Do you have? Have you said? Wait, so you said Paul Casey for top 10 lock, sleeper Matthew Wolf. Any other just sort of general play? I mean, Brooks could miss this cut, and I don't think that I would blink. I think I'd be like, oh, well, okay. Enjoy a little time off, my friend. See you later.
It's too easy. The course is too easy. Yeah, it's so weird, right? Because it should translate, but it just doesn't. Because T50. He has T50 at Canada, and you're like, is he hitting it well? And then he freaking leads the field in strokes gained on approach shots at Pebble during the U.S. Open. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's unfair too because, you know, Brooks Koepka misses this cut and you're like, oh, all right. Well, no big deal. And like Spieth could win this event and I'd be like, I still don't trust it.
Yeah.
Don't like Jordan Spieth could win this event and I'd be like, not yet. Not ready to commit to it.
I was walking with Fried Egg Andy on, I think it was Saturday. We were following Brooks and he was like, is there anybody you trust more over any shot, a putt, a drive, a long iron, a wedge, than Brooks Koepka?
Not right now.
No, right? Like you wouldn't pick anybody for any one of those other shots.
No.
You just be like, I want, but yeah, Brooks for all of them, all four.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy. It's again, like just to bring this thing full circle and wrap it up, like it's insane how I to me, like, and this is the way I sort of judge this, right or wrong, it is how much trust do I have in you when you're over the ball, when you're over a putt. And with Brooks, it's 100% of the trust. With Rory, it's like, I don't know, I'm like 70% there. I'm like 95% there at non-majors. But then at majors, I'm like, I kind of trust it. And with Spieth, I'm like,
nope.
I'm like 30% there, I think. But like, do you do that thing where you're like, how much you trust somebody over a given shot?
No, not specifically. I think that I tend to probably zoom out a little. Like, I take the shot by shot and the compartmentalized approach a lot when it comes to analyzing, ranking, collecting data on golfers. But when for some of my broader trustworthiness, I probably determine trustworthiness more over the flow of a round or the flow over a weekend or the flow over an event in terms of being able to sustain it. And maybe that's just from from just seeing a lot of great golfers who like, yeah, you can't trust them, but they can figure it out. Or like they give you a lot of variance in their performance. And Brooks Koepka, you just don't have much especially with the kind of, you know, major championship form that you're talking about here, there's just not a lot of variance. There's a hell of a lot of variance to Xander Schauffele's game, but I'm like, I don't know. It's pretty good. Can't really argue with it. So I don't trust Xander Schauffele, except I trust him to finish near the top of the leaderboard. I trust Brooks Koepka over a shot and over a putt more than about anyone else. And like, you're going to have to get me to stretch my brain to find just like an elite wedge player for me to maybe take that out and replace Brooks Koepka with that. But it doesn't happen often because Brooks Koepka hit so many damn greens on his second shots that happened to be with wedges because he hit it 320 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
No, I agree. I agree.
He is Kyle Porter. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip.